So this morning, I wanted to focus on a line, from the gospel today that this is, the sending out of the 12, and Jesus says, don't take any money sack, don't take a second tunic. You can take a walking stick and sandals, but pretty much that's it. And so the sending out of the 12 is an important step in Jesus preparing his disciples and apostles to continue the mission when he leaves. But the last line is what I want to focus on today. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. So, I don't know about you, but especially growing up, I don't remember a single homily in my entire childhood, a single homily about the anointing of the sick. And this reading comes up in the cycle of readings every 3 years, so it comes up often, but a lot of times it gets buried beneath other things that we tend to preach about or focus on. So, but today I just really felt called to focus on that. The anointing with oil, they anointed many with oil who were sick and cured them. So, in terms of the anointing of the sick, we Catholics, we believe there are 7 sacraments. And that goes, you can go all the way back to your second grade catechism classes, the old classic Baltimore catechism. What is the definition of a sacrament? An outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. And, we teach our kids that in second grade, and yeah, we know, we understand that, but what does that actually mean? Now, for us Catholics, again, we have these 7 sacraments, but a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters, they don't necessarily hold the same teaching of 7 sacraments. A lot of them, almost all of them, will hold 1 sacrament of baptism. They recognize the validity of baptism. But depending on which denomination you go to, some of them will recognize confession. Some of them will recognize marriage as a sacrament. Some of them, like depending on what kind of Lutheran you are, some Lutherans will recognize, again, confession as a sacrament. So it just kind of depends, confirmation as a sacrament. But not very many of them will look to anointing of the sick and say, oh yes, that's an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. But with that definition, instituted by Christ, what we see is like we should be able to find the roots, the origins, the beginnings of each of the sacraments in Scripture. During Jesus' life, during his mission, or immediately afterwards in the Acts of the Apostles or so on. And so that's what we look for in determining, is this a sacrament, is this not a sacrament? Well, here we are, John chapter 6, verse 13. They anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Okay, so we have a scriptural reference here, and that's not our only scriptural reference. James, the Apostle James, is even more explicit. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Here's what James has to say. Is there anyone among you who is sick? Let him send for the priests of the church, that they may pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, it will be forgiven. So the anointing of the sick, there James is laying it out, again, within the first couple of decades of the infancy of the church, we already have the apostles going out and anointing with oil. Now, the other piece of the definition of the sacrament, outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace, it's outward. All 7 of the sacraments have to have something outward. We call it the material matter, the matter of the sacrament. So in baptism, it's obvious, the material matter of that is water. You pour the water. And the Eucharist, the outward material sign is the bread and the wine. You have to have both of them to have the Eucharist. In anointing of the sick and in confirmation, the outward sign, the matter, is oil. So, with this oil, it's something we can taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. And our bodies know that there's something happening. There's something invisible that happens that we can't see. The grace that is bestowed, our eyes can't pick that up. Our ears can't hear it. We can't smell grace. But our bodies can know something outward is taking place. And for what it's worth, it always corresponds, the outward sign corresponds to the invisible spiritual reality. So in baptism, the outward sign is pouring and washing of a body, but the invisible reality is the washing of a soul. And the Eucharist, the outward sign, is consuming. We eat the flesh, the body and blood and bread and wine, the external expression of bread and wine, but the invisible reality is we receive grace. We are sustained. For anointing of the sick, yes, there's the outward sign with oil, but the invisible reality, we believe, is healing that takes place. Now, we don't use oil for medicine very much anymore, but for the longest time, oil was used as for medicinal purposes. It was used for healing and for binding up wounds and so on. As a matter of fact, if you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, when he picks up the guy who was beat up and laying in the ditch and he takes him to the inn, what's he do with him? He pours oil and wine over his wounds. Thank God we don't do that now, but I guess it's better than nothing. I like antibiotics, though. So an outward sign instituted by Christ, began by Jesus, where we have the scriptural roots for it, to give grace. That's why we have the seven sacraments. Why do we have seven instead of just one? Why not just baptism? The answer to that question is they each give us a particular grace. Each of the seven sacraments does something different in our souls. So, again, baptism washes our souls from original sin. The Eucharist feeds us. The confession washes away our sins. But anointing of the sick has its own grace, a particular grace. So I'm going to read from the Catechism. This is Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1526. 1527. The sacrament of anointing of the sick has its own purpose, the conferral of a special grace on the Christian experiencing the difficulties inherent in the conditions of grave illness or old age. In other words, when you receive anointing of the sick, it gives your soul a special grace to be able to persevere through grave illness or old age. Now, the church then, you skip down a couple paragraphs, and it's paragraph 1532, it goes to enumerate, kind of expands on four effects of that grace. Four things that grace, when you receive anointing of the sick, four things that happens to your soul. Number one, the special grace of the sacrament of anointing of the sick has the following effects. Number one, uniting of the sick person to the passion of Christ for his own good and that of the whole church. In other words, when you receive anointing of the sick, if you're going through long suffering, if you're going through difficulty, if you're going through illness, anointing of the sick gives your soul the grace to be united more closely to Christ on the cross. If you ever want to do some some light reading, it's heavy reading, but if you ever want to do some reading about the meaning and purpose of suffering, read St. John Paul II's letter, Salvifici Dolores, which the Latin phrase meaning of salvific suffering. The fact that suffering can be redemptive. That God can use our suffering, our illnesses, our difficulties for our own good and the good of the people around us. It's a beautiful encyclical written specifically to that purpose. But what the church is saying is when you receive anointing of the sick, your soul is more capable of being united to Christ in his suffering. Effect number two, the strengthening of peace and courage to endure in a Christian manner the sufferings of illness or of old age. In other words, when you receive the anointing of the sick, you are given a grace to maintain peace and courage in the midst of it, to not lose hope, to not despair, to not fall into an angriness or a bitterness, or that the anointing of the sick helps us carry through internally. And for what it's worth, I can attest to that myself. Yes, it's anecdotal, but I received the anointing of the sick for the first time when I broke my leg a couple of months ago. And it was a few days into it. It was two or three days in. And I got to admit, like those first few days, I was not in the best place internally. I was so grumpy, like, gosh darn it, why did this have to happen right now? I just got to my new parish, of all these things going on, all, like, I'm so excited, and all these things, and now I broke my leg. This is not what I need right now. That was kind of my attitude, right or wrong. Well, it's not right, but that's just the way it was, okay? And then one of my brother priests came over and offered to give me the anointing of the sick. Now, I'm not on my deathbed. I knew I wasn't going to die. There was no danger of death. But I received the anointing of the sick. It didn't heal me. I didn't jump up off the couch and go skipping down the hallway. But what I did notice pretty much right away, there was a shift that happened in my heart. Then instead of like feeling sorry for myself, instead of this anger, instead of this questioning of why did this have to happen right now, there was a peace that came along. And an understanding, and the Lord told me pretty clearly, like, Curtis, you needed to break your leg. This needed to happen. And I was able to accept that rather than fighting it or being anxious. And I truly attribute that to the grace of the sacrament of anointing of the sick. Thirdly, the third grace. Forgiveness of sins. If the sick person were not able to obtain it through the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of anointing of the sick forgives sins. It can even, if somebody's unconscious, it can potentially even forgive mortal sins if they're not capable of going to confession. Confession obviously is a normative way of doing that, but anointing of the sick does forgive sins, just like receiving communion forgives venial sins. Number four, the restoration of health. If it is conducive to the salvation of the soul. You heard it in the gospel. They anointed many who were sick and cured them. Being cured, physically healed, is part of the grace of anointing of the sick. And I'm telling you, in 9 years as a priest, I have witnessed miracles through the sacrament. Physical healings. Probably the most dramatic of them was a lady, this is several years ago, and she was, I don't know, probably 80 or so, and she'd been suffering from seizures, and she'd been unconscious. She was being fed by a feeding tube. She hadn't woken up for 2 weeks, and she would have seizures and then relax, and then seizures and then relax. And there was 2 weeks of that. No, had not been conscious. And so it was at the end, the doctors called her family in and said she's got less than 24 hours. Her family was there, and so they called me in. I did the anointing. And as soon as I was finished with the prayer of anointing, as soon as I was done, she opens her eyes, she looks around, and then she sits up and starts talking to people like nothing had happened. And I was as shocked as the rest of the family, like, oh, wow, okay. So there she was, and she just, like she hadn't missed any time and didn't realize she'd been unconscious for 2 weeks. And she lived for two weeks after that. And there's a lot of family that didn't really have much of an opportunity to say their final goodbyes or to make their peace with her before she passed away. And they were able to have those conversations. I'm telling you, healing is part of the sacrament. And then finally, the final grace of anointing of the sick is preparation for the passing over to eternal life. It is the final preparation for death. And so you look at anointing of the sick, and it's not necessarily, back in the day, it was pretty hard and fast. Like, if you weren't drawing your last breath, you didn't call the priest. Wait until, like, she might live another 12 hours. We don't need the priest yet. No. When somebody gets to a point of serious illness, or like I said, even old age. Now, it doesn't say exactly what old age is. It doesn't say once you hit 65 or once you hit 85 or once you hit whatever it is. It doesn't say. Old age can mean different things for different people. Some people are really old at 60 and some people are young at 90. But wherever it is where you find your health declining, it's okay to ask for anointing of the sick. But it is especially relevant for people who are making their final preparations for death. It gives them peace. It allows them to connect to the Lord. That's why this sacrament was given to us. Grace, real grace that actually does something for our souls. And so maybe we recognize, maybe understand, and maybe this is something just for future reference. Maybe this doesn't necessarily apply to you in this moment, but maybe there's family members that you know or someone that you know or love that, like, the anointing of sick could be helpful for them. It could be advantageous. And so, and maybe dispel some of those thoughts of the olden days where it's like you had to be drawing your final breath. Now, it's not, again, it's not every cough and sniffle you need to go get the anointing of the sick. But for serious illness or for those who are of declining health due to old age, by all means, receive the sacrament. That's what it's there for. The Lord anticipates our needs. That's why he gave us these seven different sacraments. May we rejoice at this gift, and may we receive the grace that he offers to us through each of these sacraments.